for the reading of the word. Would you turn in your Bible, if you have them with you, to Matthew 25. Matthew 25, beginning with the 14th verse, the parable of the talents. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. When he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents, and likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of these servants came and settled account with them. He who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things, and I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Also, who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things, and I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you were a hard man, reaping where you had not sown, and gathered where you had not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and went and hid your talents in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reaped where I had not sown and gathered where I had not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money into the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore take from the talent from him, and give it to him who has 10 talents, for it to everyone who has, more will be given, and to him that have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken out away from him. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let us pray. Almighty God, as we approach thy throne, we are conscious of the talent that is here within us that you have displayed. We are conscious that we have the duty to follow in abundance of giving you return for what you've given us. We're so thankful that we have the opportunity to come and learn in the ways that we might return your talent and bless others as we see the opportunity. Father, we pray that you would come now and commune to us in the blessings of Jesus and bless us to the ripeness of and fullness of what we can do. Bless each and every one here. And as we think of the future, we're looking to our revival, that we would be the part of it that would be sent out and with the talents to gain more. We look to the freshness of Jesus in our heart that we might display that love and fullness. So give us these opportunities, and we'll be thankful that we have them. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. And amen.
Welcome to chapel this morning, and to the worship of our God, and to fellowship one with another. Since 1975, the summer of 75, Southeastern has sent out hundreds of Southeasterners in church planting around this nation. We have had you to go to places across the nation, from California up and down the West Coast, into Oregon and Washington, across the plains of the Midwest and those cornfields in Nebraska, jumping up to Toronto, Canada, the large cities of Chicago, the inner slums of Boston, all around the D.C. area, into West Virginia, down the East Coast, into Virginias and Carolinas, into Florida, down to the tip. Some 30 states have been visited by Southeastern students during these years in trying to plant God's church in the world. And this morning, The Praxis people of 1993, summer, are leading this worship service. They're sharing with you in song, in reading of scripture, the leadership of prayer, and in some of their testimonies of what they observed and experienced in the Lordship of Jesus Christ in their lives this summer. We all believe that it is an exciting time to be involved in our Lord's ministry and mission. In fact, this experience with our Southeasterners this time began about last September, when they began to make it a matter of their own prayer if this was God's will for their lives, to go for the summer, to spend at least 10 weeks in some often difficult places, sometimes uncultivated places, to plant the seed, to build trust, to knock on thousands of doors, sometimes in multi-housing units, not able to get into them, and to try to pray and figure out ways that they could break through barriers of stone and brick and closed and locked gates to get the gospel to people. You can see from your bulletin the names of those who went last summer, some 22. Most of them are with us this morning, either on the program or sitting here on the front row. They have had a good summer. It is one of the great experiences, I believe, that seminary offers in terms of linking up what we do in seminary through our home mission board and various state conventions and local associations. It is a triangle of ministry during the summer when the seminary cooperates with these entities, with these people, in attempting to start new work. So greetings to you this morning, and we pray God's blessings upon us as Southeasterners, all of us, that we listen for God's will in preaching the gospel and planting His church as He leads us. Now we'll hear a song, and then we'll hear the presentation.
I want to share with you where this song came from real quickly. When we were in New Orleans for orientation, the four of us got together walking down the streets of New Orleans going toward Bourbon Street, and we started singing this song, and it was sort of our witness. We got some mixed reactions, we got some standing ovations, we got some weird looks, but I'm sure it's the first time that a lot of people heard this song, so we're going to share it with you this morning.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but
Paul in 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, 22nd verse and 23rd verse, he said something like this: to the weak I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. If there's one thing that I learned this summer during Praxis, was the fact that God is not in a box. You know, as Christians, we have all these presuppositions even before we start studying the Word of God. And we carry these presuppositions into the studies. And it's hard for us to remain biased and aside and just read the Word of God for what it is, His Word. And when I went into Praxis, my wife and I, we both had these presuppositions and these ideas. Well, what's going to happen, and who are we are going to find here, and how we're going to present the gospel to it, and how we're going to do this. And we get so involved in the process of thinking through our plan that we had forgotten who were we presenting. You know, who are we talking about? We are talking about God. And when we arrived in Georgia, in the Columbus area, we found a location completely different, really, from all the books that we had read about church planting. And it just so happened that we had to find the exception. But we got there, and we were looking, instead of a community, it wasn't a community, it was a bedroom community. It was a situation in where there was these 350 homes, with about 100 homes being built at the same time, an extremely explosive area of growth and of migration. And when we got there, we looked around and said, well, we don't have any place to meet. We don't have a park where we can do things with the children. We don't have a way to set up tent and sing and start preaching and getting some people to attract some attention and so forth. What we have to do is knock on doors and go door to door presenting the gospel and asking people if they're interested in meeting together and worshiping and praising God. So it was a different situation from what the books presented. The book said, you know, you go into this place and you find a park and you do this. And well, there wasn't any place like that. We couldn't do that. It was a situation where husband and wife worked, no teenagers, none. We found on close to 300 homes that we visited, we might have found 10 or 15 teenagers. And the rest of it was just 12 and under or college age. And so, well, we had a plan for teenagers. Out the window, bud. So we had to really rethink and restructure and replan everything. All our plans were all went out the window. And what that taught me was, Al, you cannot go out there to present the gospel to people with your little box answers, you know, with all your answers inside that little box. You can't do that. People are people and they're different. And God is awesome. And he can take care of everything. What we need to do is be open, be flexible. We had a situation with a lady where she was born Hebrew and went to Muslim school when she was little. And after she became a teenager, she went to live with her father. Her father was Catholic, so she went through catechism. And then she came to the United States and studied philosophy. That was a one mixed up lady. But we found that the Lord can reach through and touch even the mixed up ones. She came to us really by the drawing of the Spirit, because she had no intention to come to a Bible study. She walked up to us where we had found a place where we could were allowed to do Bible study. By the way, about 80% of those people that we knocked on doors were Baptists. You know where we found a place to do Bible study at home? Church of God of Prophecy. They opened their doors. Baptists didn't. That hurt me. That hurt me in a sense of these people are in the same denomination I'm in. They supposedly believe the same thing I believe, and yet they refuse to open the doors to teach the gospel. Folks, we got a job. As ministers, we got a tremendous job out there. But this lady, Church of God of Prophecy, opened her doors, and this Catholic lady, which she claimed to be Catholic at the time, she walked up because we were having activities for the children, and her son had come the previous week to a backyard Bible club. And she wanted to find out a little bit more. Her son saw my wife out in the yard with the children for the second time. And she came out there and she says, I want to know a little bit more about what's going on over here before I let my child continue to come. And she ended up staying for Bible study. And she has been faithful. I've been in contact with the people over there after we left. She has not missed a single Bible study. And she's been there every time, and she's full of questions. She was full of questions while I was there. She's still full of questions. And that's great, because that tells me that the Holy Spirit's at work. Like I said, it's just, you cannot go into the world and preach the gospel and try to present the gospel to people in a sealed little box saying, this is the way it is, because that might not be the way they receive it. It is the way it is to us, but how is it to them? We must be flexible. As ministers of the gospel, we must be flexible. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking about compromising the word of God in any way. Under no circumstances must we compromise the gospel. But we must be flexible in how we present the gospel to these people. Praxis taught me that, and it was a well worth it lesson, because it taught me humility, humbleness. It taught me that I didn't have all the answers. And it taught me that people can be reached for God in a different way than what I had in my mind before. Thank you.
Thank you, Al. As you see in your bulletin, I went to North Dakota. I arrived in Jamestown, North Dakota on June the 8th at the home of my supervisor, Mr. Larry Vickery, who is a graduate of Southeastern Seminary. And we began to talk and just, you know, to converse and learn who each other were. And we went over the various procedures that they had desired for us to do. My partner, Van Ingram, was from Southern Seminary. He came up on the 9th, and we talked a little bit more. And then on June the 10th, we began to drive from Jamestown up to Rugby. And Rugby is about middle ways of the state, about 35 miles south of the Canadian border. And as I was going up Highway 3, just maybe 6 or 7 miles out of Rugby, I was looking around and there weren't any houses, just a bunch of fields. And I thought, Lord, how in the world, Alex, did you talk yourself into coming up here? And we got there and I talked to Mr. Dewey Hickey, who was the executive secretary of the Dakota Southern Baptist Fellowship. And we briefly sketched out our plans for the summer. And the next day, Van and I went to the grocery store, you know, stacked up on groceries and stuff, and we began to survey. And we both began to notice that the fact that we were Southern Baptists was not to our advantage. And we had doors shut in our face, and you get accustomed to that after a while. And the rain didn't help at all. I'm sure you realized it was raining up there a pretty good bit. We did our backyard Bible clubs, and we did the best that we could to try and organize an adult Bible study, but it never would come together. This was getting into the fourth week, and God shared a passage of Scripture with me. It says, "Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain." And I meditated on that verse for 2 or 3 days, and the words of a man came to me. He said, what God is doing, he's just waiting to see if we're going to be faithful to the task at hand. We had an evangelist coming up from Florida. We did a tent crusade up there. And I'll have to confess, didn't anything happen for the first couple of days. But we were praying every day that God was going to move. And just as the Spirit of God moved across the face of the waters, the hand of God began to move over the city of Rugby. And a few people got saved. And the next thing that I knew, a church was starting. And when God begins to work, who can hinder it? The Scripture says, no one can hinder. And that's exactly what happened. And praise the Lord, we had worship services 4 weeks before I left. And it was amazing. We had Wednesday night prayer services, Bible studies. We had worship service on Sunday. And the thing that amazed me the most was, despite the rain, despite the fact that we were a cursed people, Southern Baptist that is, and the cultural differences, God moved and God started the church there. And what that did was confirm a conviction that God has placed upon my heart since I've been here at Southeastern, is that it doesn't matter how many degrees I have, how well I know Paul's epistolary formula, or I can comprehend Paul's hermeneutic. The most important factor in my life, in my ministry, in your ministry, is your personal relationship with God.
I wanted to share a passage of Scripture from Matthew's Gospel from the 9th chapter. And this is concerning the calling of Matthew. It says, as Jesus went out from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? On hearing this, Jesus said, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. The summer I had the privilege of going as far away probably as anybody did. I went to Washington State, and Washington I thought was a land of trees and it rained a lot, but it wasn't anything like that. It was actually more of an arid climate where it rained a good bit over a plain. It was a volcanic area, and they grew wheat. And actually, the place we were at was one of the largest wheat-producing areas in America. But praxis is more than just going somewhere and renting a building and inviting people to come to church. I think as we see in this passage, we can see how much people matter to God. And I think in praxis is a good opportunity to see that the ministry is getting to know people in 10 weeks as best as you can, getting into a neighborhood or a small town and getting to meet people and shake their hands and look them in the eye and then inviting them over to your house or going to their house and telling them about Jesus Christ and getting to be their friends. I think as Christians, we need to be able to get into neighborhoods and share Christ with our friends. We oftentimes ostracize ourselves. We build walls around us, and we first thing we do when we become Christians is we lose our lost friends. But going into a place like Tico, Washington, not knowing a single person, first thing I had to do was get to be some people's friends. And that was what praxis was all about. And I want to tell you a little story about a man named Bill. Bill's one of these people that if you minister in a small town, you probably know somebody like Bill. He's the guy you always see walking up down the street. Bill had a few problems. He didn't like to bathe. He didn't like to shave. He wasn't too fond of deodorant. Washing clothes was not one of his favorite things. Matter of fact, Bill just liked to hang out. He hung out at the Long Grain Tavern, but he drank coffee. Bill had some mental problems, and he didn't like to drink because it made him kind of wild. And Bill had threatened to kill some people, so I kind of avoided Bill when I got to Tico. His reputation preceded him, and whenever I saw Bill coming, I just walked the other way. But Bill had come to a service that I'd held. I'd rented the middle school, and we did a kind of a presentation of the gospel, and Bill came that night. And the next day, I was at the grocery store, and Bill came walking up the street, and I saw him coming, so I kind of just turned and walked the other way, and Bill says, "I want to talk to you about something." And I said, "Sure, Bill, what is it?" And he said, "I was listening to what you said the other night about Jesus, and I'm kind of confused, and I want to talk to you about it." So I said, "Well, okay, I'll be happy to sit down with you and talk to you." I knew that inviting Bill over to my house, though, might be a little bit much for my wife. Bill was going to have to grow on Kelly. He was a little rough on the edges. So I said, "Well, Bill, I'll be happy to come to your house or wherever you want to be. I'll even come to the Golden Grain Tavern, and we'll sit down and talk about Jesus." And you should have seen the way Bill's eyes lit up. He said, "You mean you, a preacher, would come to a tavern and share and talk about Jesus?" I said, "Sure, I'll come down there tonight." So that night I went down to the Golden Grain Tavern, and I sat down with Bill, and Bill introduced me to the owner, and the owner came over, and we sat down, and for 2.5 hours I shared the gospel with Mick and Bill. And Bill drank coffee, and Mick drank his beer, and the more he drank, the easier he was to get along with. And you know, as a great Southern Baptist evangelist, I'd like to say, you know, Bill and Mick knelt down there and received Christ there, but they didn't. But Bill came to every Bible study after that. And I got to talk to Mick again about his relationship with Christ, because they saw that somebody cared about him. And we need to understand that people matter to God. That just because we're preachers and ministers of the gospel doesn't mean we can't go into places like that and share the gospel. We can't go in there and drink with them. I had Sprite. But at least we can go in and into the neighborhoods where the people are hurting and tell people about Jesus Christ. That's what praxis meant to me this summer, was letting people know that God cares about them, that God sent me not as somebody who's qualified to do anything, but just as an ambassador to share Christ with them. Thank you.
I knew it was risky to ask three preachers to speak 5 minutes each, but they did it. I can't believe this. So they actually followed their professor's advice and spoke about 5 minutes each. But what they said was tremendous, and I'm grateful for that. Each one of the praxis people certainly have a testimony and could give that testimony in ways which you've heard this morning. You've heard toughness. The world out there is tough. They didn't mention not only the doors being slammed in their faces, but they didn't mention the dogs growling and lunging at them in yards. You heard tenderness, the tenderness of the love of the heart for anyone, anywhere, anytime. You heard tediousness, tediousness, knowing, going with presuppositions and yet realizing that there is a way that the Lord Jesus Christ is able to break through all the barriers given the evangelist going, given the teacher willing to teach a backyard Bible study, given the one who will teach the Bible study to the adults, that the Holy Spirit can break through every barrier, though we might think it's tedious, to bring to salvation and to build His church. So practice offers each one of us that we can be an evangelist, we can be a teacher, we can be a church starter, we can be a counselor, we can be a friend to those out there who represent the millions across this nation who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and do not know the richness of the fellowship of His church. As we close this service, I remember some years ago, Mike and Ann Lopez, both class members here in all of our classes and Bible classes and evangelism classes and history and ethics and missions, Mike and Ann sat there and they responded to the call of praxis. That summer they went to Pennsylvania, and when they got to Pennsylvania, they were assigned to work with the immigrants, the Cambodians and the people from Laos around Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. They worked that summer hard, and they started Bible studies in English among these immigrants. They came back southeast in that summer and going to graduate in December. And they had a burden on their hearts, and so when they graduated in December, in January, the Home Mission Board had appointed them to go back to Pennsylvania on a two-year assignment to continue to build the church which they had started. And they were there 2 years, and the Lord then spoke to them and called them as foreign missionaries to Taiwan, where they went to build the church. I've always thought of Mike and Ann Lopez and their two children, man. It's an experience we all are part of one way or another, in preaching the gospel, in building the church, here or around the world. And for God's calling to us here at Southeastern, we're most grateful. And we who have been this summer would encourage you to make this a matter of your own prayer and concern for the world in which we live. That if God should call you in your ministries and your pastorates as students here to go on mission for Him in this world today in church planting, do not hesitate to know and to do His will. After we have our hymn, those who served in praxis will be at the front. If you'd like to come down and greet them, please feel free to do that as we leave our chapel service. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we're grateful for every good gift you give us, for your Son, Jesus Christ, and for those who make your church and kingdom around this world. We thank you for each one who went this summer, for those of us who prayed for them, for their experiences. Help us as a seminary to continue to search deeply in our lives to know and to do your will in our ministry and mission in this world. In the strong name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.